Jamin, how are you?
I'm fine. Morning, Mamakas and other members.
Good morning, GM. Good morning, honorable members and the team DWS led by the DG. I think the chairperson is trying to go to the nearest pole where he can be able to get
GM, where do you get that authority, GM?
We know
who
no,
the
is, but he is our brother in the network.
No, the honorable Tseke, I'm just reporting that that is what I got. That is going to the nearest pole.
From
remember
where?
There is, no, remember there is load shedding where he is. So that is why he's trying
why
to get to.
Why
you know, Mashiko Masati use hydropower energy.
Exactly.
Because he works in water.
And he stays next to that dam.
Inyaga dam.
Inyaga.
We're not disgraced, we're not far from Los Cop.
I know, don't have issues.
It's not far from Los Cop and Rustaventer dam.
I need water. I don't need any other thing. Drinking water only. Oh, where's this chick?
Ma'am Grace?
Honorable Sky?
Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
Good. Surviving, yes, sir?
Aye, I'm still surviving. I'm still alive.
Kicking.
Yebo.
Where's the chair?
Ask DM Magas.
First, the four setter.
Ask the Magas.
To Mamu's shrine, her network has improved drastically over time. Mamu's shrine, morning.
Good morning, DM, and how are you?
Right, leadership, how are you?
Good. Thank you for the Coca-Cola initiative in PE.
No, thanks.
I saw you. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate all the endeavors and efforts.
No, good about right. We're just praying for the rain.
Yeah, it's trying us big time. Past 2 days, yeah.
In Magilapa, it is not falling into the area where the runoff goes to those dams.
And why?
Hey, I don't know the size of the rain there in that area.
When we've been praying, God must direct it to where it's supposed to go.
No,
please,
but I'm optimistic here.
Okay. It's
not, it was lost at 9:35.
Yebo. Mom, Grace, assist us. What must we do?
Our DJ is shaping up in 23. It's coming. Good morning to you. Let's talk about.
Let me call him just for the last time.
Okay.
So that's basically what
Can I make a proposal, Chair, Mama, to the leadership in the platform? That you propose a chairperson to take us through, and then when Dada Mashego comes in, allow him to chair. Hello?
Good morning, Mamuslwan.
Nosipo?
I'm just I support your suggestion, but I'm just waiting for Mr. Sege to come back after I spoke to him, because now I'm struggling to get hold of him, but previously he was trying to connect.
Okay, okay, please.
Mr. Sege is calling him, so let's just wait for Mr. Sege's feedback, then the members will have to elect an acting chairperson.
Please.
Ms. Sege?
Yeah, Nosipo?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, you are struggling to connect. I did find the chair, so you are saying you're struggling to connect.
I made a proposal with that we appoint an acting chair, then when he connects, he's allowed to take over the meeting.
Okay, no problem. For the sake of progress, yes, let's do that, because it's already late.
Can I propose the Honorable Grace to be the acting chair for a while? Thank you, leadership.
Second that proposal. Let's move.
Supported as well. Let's move.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me appreciate the opportunity that you gave me of chairing this committee up until the chairperson, Honorable Mashego, connect. And also, the agenda is reflecting before us. I think each and everyone can be able to see it. Today we do have one agenda on our item, which is a first quarterly expenditure and performance report for the year 2022 and 2023. But firstly, let me welcome each and every person who's here, starting with the Honorable Members of Parliament connected. The Department of Water and Sanitation, led by, I think I've seen the two deputy ministers, Deputy Minister Magazi and Deputy Minister Mashobo. You are warmly welcome in this portfolio committee.
And the minister is here.
Minister, how are you? Minister, how are you?
Welcome,
Chairperson. Okay. Minister, welcome back. You are also warmly welcome here, and to the DG and the entire team present here, and all the guests present. Let me warmly welcome you. Can I request that we observe a moment of silent prayers and meditation? Thank you. Amen. Anosipo, do you have apologies?
No, Ms. Tregan, there's no apologies.
Okay. From my side, the chair has just called that she is having some problems in terms of connection. Hopefully, before we end the meeting, he can be able to connect. I'm not sure. He'll get us on our way. What's happening now, Anosipo? Can you reflect that agenda items? But I know we are now on, is there any apology, TM? But you don't, because the minister is here and the two deputy ministers. Thank you very much. Can we then move to the presentation? Minister, we are in your hands.
Hello.
Hi, Minister. How are you?
Yes, no, I'm fine. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I take it that I haven't checked, but I hope that my colleagues, deputy ministers, are here, and the officials are here as well. Yes, my greetings to all of you. Yes, thank you so much for this short opportunity. I'll just make very few remarks. We are presenting to you the first quarter results or outcomes based on various criteria or specific areas designated for assessment of this nature. Firstly, I must say that last week we held a meeting with the Auditor General. One of the aspects was on financial performance, but that was 2020-2021. And where we stand is that it wasn't a good report in terms of our performance. At that time, especially when you look at fruitless, unauthorized, irregular, quite ugly, quite an ugly report, which is threatened with problems, I think starting from 2017-18. Financial years, and at that time, I mean for 2020-2021, still reflecting badly. This is something that we inherited, of course, and I regard it as not good at all. But having said that, we are here now, and on those areas, on our financial performance, we are seeing we are on our way to improvements and improving on all those areas. And so for 2021, 2022, 2023, we're hoping that there will be incremental improvement in terms of accountability to SCOPA and generally to the Auditor General. No, this was SCOPA that we're reporting to, not Auditor General. But we're on our way to improvement, to improving on all their areas. So we're today with you, our portfolio committee to whom we report, and we're doing the first quarter. We just want to highlight that we have in the past indicated that one of the ways we sought to improve our accountability was to improve on personnel filling up of posts, both as a duty but also as part of strengthening the department and accountability on the side of department. Because if you don't have the fully appointed people or personnel in most of your executive posts, you don't have anyone to account to, and you don't have anyone to cause proper accounting. And so with that, we go the much-needed improvement on accountability on irregular expenditure, unauthorized, and all the other ones. But the third area that we want to hint on is on investigations. We are still burdened with lots and lots of investigations of the past that have not been completed. But we are doing our best to push for completion with the bodies that are responsible. And we're hoping that by the end of the second or third quarter, we will have decreased those deficits helped by them. We playing an active role in insisting on progress. The next aspect here, the officials will then take you through a number of detailed areas on resource management and on water services management, and indicate progress in those areas. In future, I do realize that we would have to bring in program managers to just take 5 minutes each for impact in terms of reporting. For instance, in when it comes to accounting on our projects, progress in projects on water services management. I think more than half of the projects, the key projects that we're reporting on, I think that should have been completed some 2, 3, 4 years ago. But we're not lamenting. We've set ourselves to tackling that those outstanding projects, clean them out from staying incomplete and abandoned and so on. We're picking lots and lots of them, even key ones like Nandoni Ntsame. And just there, I must say that we are making a lot of progress. If the progress that we are making on these projects were 2.5 years, 3 years ago, I would have said it's an exciting period. But because we're dealing with something that has already should have been completed a few years ago, we're not excited. But nevertheless, we acknowledge that we are making progress, even though it should have been made some time ago. Like that one, Nandoni, we are getting quite close to closing on works, that is piping between Nandoni and the rest of the piping. We've crossed the river, even though with temporal measures, they will go back and do the firm build. That will see us in a few weeks closing, or maybe a few weeks, because that is due for completion in October. we'll be closing on the rest of the pipe from Nandoni down to Nzami, and that side of Mopani, we are also less, we're around two kilometers or so. And that will then enable us to connect with the waterworks, which is due for refurbishment parallel to what we will be doing, connecting to a number of reservoirs which are there, others being completed, and then with reticulation, which is already, which is also starting, initially targeting 24 out of 55 villages, and just connecting communally, and then later we will then start yard connections. This is the work that we are doing. There are a number of others, like Losco, Mutse, a number of them throughout the country. So I would have loved that we get a program manager to do that in the form of DDG. But however, I'm just making an example with what we're doing. On financial performance further, we're trying our best to strengthen the system, because we're aware that it's not a question of appointing people substantively, but what you need systems as well, so that they manage enhanced systems of accountability. Because we have had systems operating at a very low level, making us making it difficult for the department to account at a higher level, which we want at this particular time and point. We are on our way to strengthen those, from procurement to accountability systems, so that CFO preside over systems that are alive and are effective, and make it easy for all of us to account. Of course, we are also at the same time doing financial recovery, which encompasses all the enhancement processes that DG is undertaking at the moment, and we are interacting on a regular basis on these matters. I must end up by saying that overall, we realize that we have to do a thin separation between ordinary procurement and ordinary and procurement for construction, because we realize more and more that procuring for a printing paper is not exactly the same as procuring for a 10 billion project in construction. There's a lot of specialization needed. There are a lot of details, but at the same time, we need speed in doing this and not procure perpetually because we're toing and froing, because we're not making any differentiation between procuring a pen and procuring the construction for a huge project. There are discussions with Treasury on this, and other related Treasury in particular, but also with other government departments like infrastructure and so on. And there's general agreement that there needs to be separation in a way in terms of systems of procurement, and we enhance towards or in favor of specialized procurement, which is tailor-made for the built industry. Otherwise, we are not going to make any progress because we procure for more than 12 months just dealing with one project, paperwork, toing and throwing and all of that. Now, with that, I would then ask that the department be allowed to present. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. We want to appreciate the fact that you are on the ground, and commend you for the progress that you are doing. And nevertheless, we also received a petition from the Nandoni Complaints Resolution Committee. I'm not quite aware that you are aware of this structure around those areas. They've petitioned the Speaker of Parliament, and the Speaker has referred the matter to us. And amongst other issues that they've raised is the issue of compensation, the issue of houses under-located, homestead, toilets, and so forth and so on. The list is so long. And you have agreed with, I think, the chairperson of the committee is interacting with the two chairpersons of the COGDA and the Human Settlement so that we can be able to meet this committee. But I think at some point we will zoom in the issues and be able to brief us in terms of where you are in terms of the items as reflected on their petition. But we'll keep the department on board in terms of moving forward with this petition. And I'm also so fortunate because I followed your interaction with the SCOPA last week through social media. And yeah, we really appreciate the progress that you have presented to the SCOPA. I think that's the information that we are aware of as the portfolio committee. But nevertheless, we know that there are still challenges, as you are reflecting, in terms of the investigations that are taking so long. But we are definite that you will keep us abreast in terms of the progress thereof. Without wasting any time, I think we can continue, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's the DG Sean Phillips speaking. Good morning, Minister and Deputy Ministers, Honourable Members and colleagues. We, as indicated by the Minister, we are presenting on the Quarter 1 report for 2022-2023, which we do every quarter to the Portfolio Committee. Next slide, please. I'm going to briefly cover the executive summary and just elaborate on a few key points raised by the Minister. Then I'm going to hand over, with your permission, Chairperson, to the Director and Office of the DG for Performance Measurement and Monitoring, Babawa Manyaka Nyaka. And then she's going to hand over to the Chief Financial Officer, Franz Moachi, to cover the financial performance and the overview of the financial recovery plan. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. As indicated by the Minister, we've continued to be focused on addressing financial misconduct and removing as far as possible all improper expenditure in the department, including unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful, and clearing and condoning the legacy cases. The CFO, as will be indicated by the CFO, we've been paying a lot of attention to obtaining condonations for past improper expenditure. Some of those condonations require disciplinary cases to be completed before they can be condoned. As indicated by the Minister, some of those cases have taken longer than expected, but we are focusing on them and it remains our objective to obtain condonation wherever possible on the past improper expenditure and to minimize the risk of any future new unauthorized, irregular or fruitless and wasteful expenditure through strengthening our controls in the department and ensuring that there's consequence management for all financial misconduct. We've also been indicated by the Minister been focusing particularly on improving service delivery related to water and sanitation. At municipal level, we have greatly increased our involvement in municipal water and sanitation as compared to previous years, led by the Minister, and we are currently supporting or intervening in approximately 20 different municipalities where we've developed action plans and are working with the municipalities to monitor implementation of the action plans, sometimes through Section 63 interventions and sometimes in collaboration with COGTA with 139 interventions as well. And as indicated by the Minister, we're also prioritizing completion of our major water resource infrastructure projects like Clan William Dam and other key projects that are either in planning or implementation phase, which have been delayed for a long time, to ensure that they are either completed or move from the planning stage to the implementation stage as soon as possible. Next slide, please. The Minister has largely covered this. We've now completed the process of addressing the acting problem in the department at senior level, and all DDG, DG and Chief Director posts have been filled except the Chief Director post, which was vacated by the CFO when he was appointed. But that position will be filled from the 1st of October. Another major development which has happened in recent weeks is that the Minister has signed off on the organisational structure after extensive consultations, including with organised labour led by the Minister. And this is a major step forward for the department because it involves some tweaking to the structure to enable us to perform our key functions better, particularly to enable us to improve our performance with regard to supporting and intervening at municipal level with regard to water services. Another advantage of having the structure signed off now is that now we can go into the matching and placing process against the new structure, and we can properly capture the approved structure on PERSOL, which will enable us in turn to give accurate information about vacancies and filled positions in the department, which we haven't been able to do now because there's been a version of the structure captured on PERSOL which is a mix of previous approved structures, and this recent approval of the whole structure means that we can now have a single approved structure captured on PERSOL, and we can provide accurate information regarding vacancies and filled positions. We are constrained in terms of our ability to recruit against the new structure because of the whole of government policy to reduce expenditure on personnel, and therefore we're going to be prioritising the filling of key technical positions rather than administrative positions to enable us to perform our key functions better. For example, we're going to be prioritising the filling of additional positions in the water use licensing sections in the regional offices. And we'll do that as positions become vacant through natural attrition. And so personnel budget becomes available. We will then prioritise the filling of key critical technical positions. Next slide, please. This slide just compares, it's a standard slide comparing non-financial and financial performance. It's really for members' information. Rather than going to the slide, I think we should go straight to the presentation on the performance information and the presentation on the financial information. Next slide, please. So I'd like to hand over to Bababa to present the performance information.
Thank you, DG. Good morning to the Minister and Deputy Ministers, the Honourable Members. This slide is an indication of the best performance of the department, which is currently sitting at 78%. And on the right-hand side of the slide, it indicates an overall summary per program, which indicates that administration achieved 81% of its quarterly milestones, water resources management achieved 77%, and water services and management received 80%. If you go to the next slide, it will be an indication of our compliance with the preferential procurement regulations introduced in 2017, which indicates that our procurement for the first quarter in small, medium, micro enterprises is currently at 61% from what we had planned, a 30% procurement. And if we disaggregate this procurement into exempted micro enterprises and qualifying small enterprises, you'll see that we procured 38% and 23% respectively. If you go to the next slide, it is a procurement from designated groups. It indicates that our procurement from youth was 22% for the quarter, persons with disabilities at 2%, and from women we procured a 39%. If you then go to the first program, which is an indication of the performance for the quarter, this slide, it can be read to mean that two of the four sub-programs in the branch received 100% or performed 100% of what was planned for the quarter, and the remaining two did not achieve 100% of what was planned for the quarter. The next slide, therefore, indicates the summary of achievements for the quarter per sub-program, indicating the two that achieved their 100% achievement for the quarter, which is corporate services and provincial international corporate coordination. And then the latter two, it indicates what was achieved for the quarter. And if you go to the next slide, it will then detail the areas of partial and non-achievement within the sub-program. You will see that under departmental management, we managed to achieve 89% of what was planned in terms of the implementation of the risk. The CFO will talk to the 12% under expenditure and also the data days when he's actually talking to the financial performance. If you go to the second program, the next slide indicates that three of the seven sub-programs actually achieved 100% of what they had planned for the quarter, and the four programs, sub-programs did not achieve all that was planned for the quarter. If you go to the next slide, it indicates what was actually achieved for the quarter. The next slide as well, it goes slide 80. It also indicates a high-level summary of what was achieved for the quarter for all the seven programs that I've mentioned. And then if you go to slide number 19, then it actually provides details of the areas of partial achievements within policy and strategy, indicating that in terms of our act, we have planned that it should submit for consultation, and also third edition of our national water resources should have been gazetted for public consultation, which was not achieved for the quarter. In terms of our institutional oversight, we planned that we should have had our draft cabinet memo approved for further consultation. If you go to the next slide, slide 20, it indicates in terms of water resources infrastructure management, when rehabilitation of conveyance systems, we were under by 0.646 kilometers in terms of what was planned, and job opportunities that should have been created under operations of water resources infrastructure projects, we could not create any job opportunities because there was a delay in the initiation of some of the projects. Then we go to the next slide, slide 21, in terms of water resources regulation. it actually indicates that in terms of the raw water charges, consultations that should have been done as certain were not commenced. Also, it indicates that the draft regulations for the advancement of water allocation reform were not circulated for comments. The approval of the stakeholder consultation business case also was not finalized, and in terms of the water users, we were under by 21 water users that should have been monitored by the end of the quarter. Then the next program that we're going to be talking to is Water Services Management, the third program. This slide indicates that two of the six sub-programs achieved 100% of what was planned for the quarter, and the other four sub-programs, details of the areas of partial and non-achievement will be indicated in the subsequent slides. If you go to the next slide, this is just a high-level summary of what was achieved in the quarter for the sub-programs. This is really a consolidation, particularly when it comes to the regional bulk infrastructure grant. It's a consolidation of all the projects that are under construction and those that were completed. And if you go to the next slide, it is a disaggregation of the water services infrastructure grant numbers to indicate per province how many projects were under construction, funded through the regional bulk infrastructure grant, and those that have been completed. And as you see in terms of the colors, they're actually indicating all those that are in partial achievement and that have achieved what was actually planned. In terms of completion, we're currently sitting at five projects. When we look at our water services infrastructure grant projects, it also actually indicates that there are 270 projects that were under construction for the quarter, and of which 42 were completed. And you will see that 18 of those projects from the Eastern Cape were recovered from the previous financial year project. And then when the last column that talks to the interventions, we had planned the two interventions in Gauteng and in Limpopo, which is the Vaal and the Gyan, and those projects are also underway. If you go to the next slide, it's just details on the sub-programs that did not achieve or partially achieve for the quarter. It actually indicates that we should have updated the situational analysis for the sanitation integrated plan and 9 provincial situational analysis. It also indicates that in terms of the construction, we should have at least constructed 7 projects, and we managed to do 6 under construction under the mega, which is the billion rands and above projects. In terms of the large projects, we were under by 6 projects that should have been under construction, which is above 250 million to just less than a billion in terms of the numbers. If you go to the next slide, slide 27, it also indicates delays also in the Water Services Amendment Bill in terms of submitting it to the clusters. And when we look at the institutional oversight, we could not assess just one of the shareholder compacts because of the impending disestablishment of the one water board, which is the debate. And from in terms of performance, I think this is the last slide. I will then hand over to the CFO to take the committee through the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Chairperson, Minister, Deputy Ministers, DG and colleagues. I'll be taking the committee through the three parts of the presentation. That is part B on the overview, part C on the overview of financial performance, as well as part D on overview of financial recovery plan. Part B is the appendix where we have provided the committee with additional slides detailing various water services infrastructure grants projects per province and per benefiting municipality. That is additional information. So I will end up on part B on the financial recovery plan. Straight on the first quarter performance, the spending for the first quarter has been recorded at 13%, and the slide there presents the various program spending, administration, water resource, and water service management, including the economic classification. Most of the underspending has been recorded under the transfers to our water boards. One mainly the transfer to Nepele Northern Water, which I will talk to later on, that has since been resolved in the second quarter. There were compliance requirements that we had to fulfill before we effected the transfer. We also have a number of projects under buildings and other fixed structures. That is where we are implementing various projects. You can move to the next slide. This slide provides an overview of the water trading entity's financial performance, also for the quarter, reflecting on the various economic classifications, where we can see that a significant portion of our economic classification relates to the payments that we are making to the TCTA, where they are responsible for the repayment of our loans, as well as for the development of infrastructure that they are implementing on behalf of the department. We can move to the next slide. This is the narrative of the first quarter spending, as indicated earlier on, that there is under expenditure when comparing what we plan to spend for the first quarter against what we have actually spent. So this is a repeat of the same information, economic classification. The Director General already mentioned the constraints around compensation of employees, which result in us having to scale down and prioritize key positions. And there are also impacts of the moratorium that we had during the matter that was before the Constitutional Court. It did certainly affect some of the projects that delayed during that period. And we also have CAPEX, which I spoke to earlier on. And I also spoke to the transfers and subsidies, which includes water boards. And the local government transfers are scheduled only in the second quarter. And we already received approved dates from Treasury, which is the 28th of July, as well as the 4th of August. And those happen subsequent to this reporting period. We can move to the next slide. This is the overview of all our infrastructure allocations, indicating the regional bulk infrastructure grant, conditional allocations to local government, as well as those allocations in kind where the department is implementing projects on behalf of beneficiary municipalities, and subsequent to the completion of those projects, we transfer those as in line with the Public Finance Management Act. This reflects also the water services infrastructure grants. And we also have various transfers to the water boards, as indicated. My colleague did mention CDBN water board. Up until June, we had CDBN subsequent to the reporting period. It was established, and all those funds that were transferred to CDBN are now accounted for by the successor, which is Bloom Water in this case. And we have transfers to the water trading entity. That is where we have various projects, the ones that I referred to earlier on, including the transfers to Komati Basin Water Authority, which relates to the treaty between our country as well as Eswatini. We can move to the next slide. This chapter is just an indication of the allocations made for each province. As indicated, the detailed slides are in the subsequent presentation slides. So this is for information that we do have those allocations to the municipalities, and expenditure will be recorded in the second quarter. Next slide. On the water services infrastructure grant, the department has an allocation of 771 million. And in the first quarter, we had to reprioritize the funding to deal with issues of KwaZulu-Natal, a disaster, as well as Eastern Cape. We also made budgetary prioritizations towards the intervention in Mukanyagude. And these reprioritizations, as indicated on the slide, I must emphasize that the movements were made from slow-moving projects. It could be projects where the municipality is still in the process of going out on procurement. There are still challenges with some of these projects. So none of those municipalities were negatively affected, except for the fact that they would have been a slow-moving project. But in terms of continuation of those projects, the department was very clear that our provincial offices should still continue, so that as we move towards the adjustment period, as well as the MTF, we can make good to those specific projects as they start moving. We can move to the next slide. Slide number 35 reflects the allocations per province on the regional bulk infrastructure and grant, where the allocations under Schedule 6D of the Division of Revenue Act, those are the indirect allocations. As indicated earlier on, the department is accountable for these funds in our accounting records. And we did experience challenges, amongst others, implementing agents' capacity challenges and work stoppages and contractual disputes, which I will illustrate also in the subsequent slides, and community protests, including disruptions by some of the businesses demanding allocations from the tender. This is also part of our recovery plans, where we are supported also by the executive authority, where they are engaging with the counterparts, the MECs, to deal with some of the challenges. We have also developed acceleration plans for various projects. The bucket eradication is one of them, the Vaal River intervention project, and the Madiveng bulk water supply, and I will also reflect more on those in the subsequent slides. This slide depicts the commitments of the department, just to indicate that there are contracts that we have entered into per province. We have contracts, contractors who have been appointed, service providers. The challenge, as indicated, is those issues that relates to work stoppages and some of the community protests. And we are hopeful that as those are being unlocked, we'll be able to ensure that these commitments translate into actual work on the ground. Next slide. The next slide is a continuation of commitments on bucket eradication. The chairperson will also recall that we did report previously about the contracts that we had to cede from the Human Settlement Department that was concluded, and those contracts are now with the department. We do have them now. We have signed the contracts with the contractors, and we are moving to ensure that this BEP does move. So those challenges, chairperson, caused delays where we had to move the project and signing again, performing due diligence. Some of the contracts we could not cede to the department because of our due diligence review, which indicated that some of those were irregular. So this is just to provide a synopsis of the commitment on bucket eradication. And as indicated, that we are certainly moving with speed to expedite the implementation of this project. Slide number 38. Chairperson, there are various measures that the department is putting in place to ensure that we prevent underspending. We are focusing not only at the quarterly transactions or reporting, we are also mindful of the end of the financial year. So all these measures are aimed at ensuring that we do prioritize funding to projects that are able to absorb, but also to ensure that we mitigate at the end of the financial year any underspending. One of the projects is the Vaal River system intervention. The department made a comprehensive presentation in the preceding week to the committee around this project where we are. Rainwater is the implementing agent working with the department, and they've provided the department with the implementation plan. We have also, subsequent to this reporting period, issued out work packages, combined value being 223 million. And there are still more that we will be issuing as and when the work is going on the ground, is progressing. And some of the challenges that we had on the project are community protests, which we had our executive authority, as well as the provincial government of Gauteng assisting us to make sure that this project runs smoothly. And on Madibeng, bulk water supply is one of the projects that was stagnant in the previous financial years. And certainly the interventions did yield results, where we were supported also by the executive authority. The project is now on track, and contractors were appointed for both civil, mechanical and electrical work. And it is estimated, according to the reports from our IA implementing agent, that 488 million will be required to conclude the works. So this, as we conclude the midterm budget adjustments, will be reprioritizing the budget to see, to ensure that we do fund some of these requirements. We can move to the next slide. Another project is a low-scope regional bulk water supply scheme. Also, procurement was initiated by the municipality. And here is one of the projects where the department had to also intervene. We also had some of our engineers being in the evaluation committees, the adjudication committees, to ensure that the procurement process, to the extent that we can, is done in a fair manner. So those contractors were appointed, and we are hopeful that this project will start moving now as we approach the next month. They are currently busy with the contractual documents, and as indicated, we should be able to spend the current allocation for this project. I mentioned earlier on, Chairperson, that the upgrade of the Olifant Sports and Ebenezer Water Supply Scheme is a transfer payment that was allocated through the Budget Facility for Infrastructure Fund. We are done with all the memorandum of agreement, the compliance documents, and we have managed to make sure that the 422 million is now with Lebele Northern Water in the second quarter. There are other reallocations, Chairperson, that were made within the provinces, and I'll move straight to slide number 40 just to share with the committee the work that is done by the department, slide number 40, where we have made some reprioritizations within the provinces. On slide number 40 is the Eastern Cape. You can assist me there, Secretariat. Slide number 40. Thank you. It's the Eastern Cape. The other projects. So we assess the performance of each and every project to make sure that we make informed decisions. So these are the illustrations of where the funds were moved. We did move funds to the Nwitsadak project, and all other projects are also indicated with the narratives of where the projects are. Slide number 41. On Gauteng, as indicated earlier on, we did assess all the projects as well, and we eventually recommended that we transfer funds for the advanced river system intervention, as indicated then. The amount is still a little bit below what Rainwater requested, and as I indicated, we are now going to relook into our budget as we approach the midterm budget review process. We can move to the next slide. Limpopo as well, we assess all the projects where they are in the first quarter, and the various reprioritizations in between the projects were made, and the reasons for the adjustments are also documented as indicated on the slide. Number 43. Slide number 43 is the... Slide number 43, the Secretariat is Mpumalanga. Thank you. Equally on Mpumalanga, the project were assessed and the performance also reviewed with our management in the province, and those are the reallocations that were made within the specific province, which is Mpumalanga. Then we can move to the last province, which is Northwest. Northwest, Chairperson, the project that I mentioned earlier on that is moving speeding now is the Madibeng bulk water supply. Those funds were moved towards the project. But also, Chairperson, it's also important to note the reasons why those funds were a move. We can see, for example, on the Mafeken South, that the implementing agent terminated the contract due to non-performance, and that also did allow us to move this fund. So we are very mindful of the communities that are being served by this other project. But as soon as we notice that the projects are back on track, we'll also review our budget allocations now during the adjustment as well as over the MTF period. That, Chairperson, concludes the first part, then I will quickly move to the next on slide number 46. Slide number 46, that is the financial recovery plan. This is simply the overview of the broad strategies, our focus on funding and budget management, expenditure control, financial governance and accountability, and the alignment of the strategic intent, capital budget and asset management, and the key output and the status is also reflected there. So we can move to the next slide, slide number 47. We did indicate also that Minister and the Director General that we are keeping a close watch on our financial recovery plan. So that speaks to the numbers that we are constantly looking at them, assessing them, making sure that there are no deviations. So this is for the main account. Then on slide number 48, on slide number 48, that is the water trading entity. So those are the figures as well. I think the only matter that I was asked to emphasize here by my colleague is around the trade receivables. We closed the financial year at 24.6 billion. We are now at 25.4. We do have recoveries that we are making. However, as indicated there, there is still a concern that the debt is growing and our debtors days are below our target. So above what we have scheduled in our planning. We are working very close with COCTA and Treasury and the municipalities to deal with some of the issues that relates to recovery of debt. The other accounts, as indicated, we are monitoring them, including the bank overdraft, that it shouldn't happen. I think we've maintained a positive bank balance. Slide number 49. One of the areas that we are also constantly working on is ensuring that we improve from the audit outcomes. The 2021 audit outcomes, I think that report will still be tabled in Parliament. The 21-22, my apology, that will be tabled in Parliament. We did improve on those. We also developed detailed action plans that have specific corrective actions and the milestones. And we have been also directed, which is our responsibility, our duties, to ensure that we achieve a clean audit. And that is the effort that DG also indicated around clearing all those legacy balances on the books of the department. And those are some of the measures that we have put in place. Awareness, tone at the top from our executive, our DG and top management to ensure that the whole of the department focuses on doing work that will help us to improve service delivery whilst complying at the same time. We can move to the next slide. The improper expenditure progress that we have made thus far. These are the balances, the closing balances when we closed the financial year and the first quarter balances. I will also illustrate in the next slide that we are making progress, although slow, the figures are high. Let's move to slide number 51. Slide number 51 is unauthorized expenditure. We haven't incurred any since the last incident of 2016-17, and we are maintaining that position. And as soon as this matter has been resolved through Parliament, we should be able to clear these balances. Slide number 52. On fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well, Chairperson, these are the balances that we have carried over from the prior financial year. And we are working very hard to make sure that the investigations around these balances are concluded and also to maintain zero incidents going forward once these amounts are cleared. On slide number 53, that speaks to the irregular expenditure, and I'm certain that the committee will recall that when we started, we were at over 18 billion. That was the figure that we reported to Parliament. and following the work that has been done on investigations, disciplinary proceedings that were undertaken by the department, we managed to submit the amounts to Treasury for condonation, and those condonations were processed. Currently, we still have to deal with this 16.5 billion made up of those amounts in both the main account and trading entity. 2 billion of this has already been sent to our forensic investigators who are currently processing this amount, and we are also reviewing the 5.7 and will be issuing more work packages. The intent here, Chairperson, really is to ensure that we expedite these cases. We also realized that our internal capacity wasn't sufficient to deal with the magnitude of these cases. And currently, we don't have any new cases. I think Minister did reflect on that. I'll also talk to that later on. But we have 2 cases that on the main account was the salary of an official who was appointed without following the required processes and procedures. And that also is receiving attention. Disciplinary proceedings are being concluded. And then on the WTE, there were some emergency procurements from the prior year, which were not supported, and they are nearing their conclusion. So we should be able also to finalize this. It will go through the normal condonation process as well as disciplinary processes will be followed. Slide number 54. Slide number 54, Chairperson, these are the cases that are now in the process of condonation from Guyane, Hudetro, and all the sub-cases. So these cases are also being attended to. The status is reflected there on the status and comments column. We can move to the next slide, that number 55. It's a continuation also to provide the committee of where the department is with these cases. They are clearly indicated there. We are following up with National Treasury on some of these cases that we have submitted to them for condonation. And on slide number 56, sorry. These are the cases that we managed to conclude with the approval of National Treasury having complied with the requirements that has been set out in the instruction note issued by National Treasury. Those are around consequence management, also root cause analysis, loss analysis, loss determination to ensure that we do recover where appropriate and that we put effective systems to ensure that those incidents do not recur. So we are hopeful that as we move forward to those new investigations, this figure will increase in the current year. Let's move to slide number 57. Chairperson, slide number 57 is what the Minister was reflecting the origin of these balances over the years. These are just the trends. This is just a trend analysis indicating our goal towards achieving zero incidents. As indicated, we still have 1 or 2 cases there that we are certainly hopeful that we will be able to clear. The goal of achieving zero balance is certainly achievable, and that is what we are working towards. So we should be zero, hopefully, by the end of the financial year after condonation. And on slide number 58, it's the same slide, same to the previous slide, but here is analysis of the closing balances, the carrying balances. The other one was the incident, to say that these balances, we can see where it started and where it is, and it should not go above where we have it now. So actually, it should reduce as we move forward with the condonations. And what measures are we putting in place as a department? That is on the next slide, that we are aware of these challenges. Okay, this is the rand values of what is reflected on the graph. We can proceed to slide number 60. So these are some of the measures that the department has put in place to ensure that we ensure that we do not have recurrence of this. We prevent, and also we deal with the legacy balances. We are implementing the turnaround and financial recovery plan, and DG and Minister spoke to that. And we also note that the trend analysis is reflecting a declining trend then, and we are hopeful that we'll get to the no incident time in this year. We'll certainly work on that. And we also have an exit strategy, chapter 10, on irregular contracts, which are being reviewed by our legal services directed by the accounting officer, and then the investigations DG spoke to those, including the working within the whole sector, that we look at the whole value chain, our water boards and municipalities, especially where they are implementing projects. As you could see that most of the projects that were stalled there are implemented by either the water boards or the municipalities. So there is concerted effort to make sure that we work closely with all those to prevent any incidents in future of this, and also to increase the performance of service delivery. And then we can move to the last slide. The last slide is just for to reflect on the progress that we have made through our internal audit unit. They have reviewed a number of cases, as reflected. The total of 228 cases were reported to the internal audit. We have a forensic unit, and then the nature of those cases also are available. There's an analysis of how those cases were handled, which ones went through disciplinary proceedings, the SAPs, the HOCs, and some are also going through civil recovery. So this is another way of making sure that we do prevent the cases, but also that where they have happened, we do make sure that we recover the funds that would have been lost, and also to ensure that officials do account for those actions related to improper expenditure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CFO. Minister, do you have any other input? Whilst I'm welcoming the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Mashego, who has just connected, I think I'll also hand over the meeting to him. Honorable Mashego, are you in?
Yes, ma'am, I have been in since the when the minister made his input.
Thank you very much. You can take over. Honorable Mashego.
Thanks, sir. Thanks. I think let's just continue where you have ended. If the minister wants to say something before we engage, can we hear him saying that?
No, I think I'm fine, Chair. Thank you very much.
If that is the case, I think I will invite members to raise their hands on the portal. But with that being said, I think I want to make one or two comments. Oh, sorry. So let me take this slide off. And then when, Minister, you gave your report, or even the presentation made by the officials, there is quite a lot of good progress made, but this progress is not... does not get expression, and I've been saying this all the time, it does not get expression to the public and even to the portfolio committee in the absence of meetings, which then create an impression of non-working when there is quite a lot of good progress we are giving. And I think we need really to emphasize that point of communicating the things that you are doing. Two worries, though, in the provincial comparison. In your Arabic, we have committed to do 82 projects. We only did five in all nine provinces. One plus two. There are five in number of the 82. On the WISIC, of the 270, we have only did. We have committed, concluded 42 of those 270. It's a bit worry. Yes, we hear that you are reporting, but we need to get to understand what is it that we are going to do to improve that particular problem. In the Vaal River system, the last time you did report that there was money which was unused, and I think the whip in the last meeting did ask the question as to, Honorable Teke, did ask the question as to if there was unused money, how do we bring back that money and make use of it moving forward? We are not getting that particular sense. At some point in the debt recovery, there was a view we made, Minister, and I know you were not here by that time yet, but I think you must have catch up with it, that in our way of doing the recoveries, top slicing must be implemented. That we need to top slice, that as and when we pay people their grants, top slice their money and pay the debtors and to the poor, those people that were. I know Salga did not necessarily agree with us, but where are we? Where are we in trying to deal with that, even if Salga did not agree?
Chairperson, on a point of order, you are chairing the meeting. Can you please allow the MP to ask some questions?
Oh, but I'm a member. I have a right to ask.
No. But you can't be chairing and at the same time taking it is clearly very out of order. Allow the member to ask. Because this is your session now, alone.
You are very out of order.
Let us be ordered.
Please ignore Mshala Chair and continue the meeting.
The Chair chairs and at the same time is the one who's now asking us questions and all those things. He doesn't allow members to take over the platform. What kind of non-human?
As a member, I have a right to ask my questions. You are very out of order, man. I'm continuing.
On a point of order, Chairperson, please allow the members to ask questions.
Unless you say there must be no questions, then I will close the meeting if you want to do that. But
you are not going to dictate on us. You are not going to. This is not the meeting of the ANC, it's the meeting of Parliament. Allow us to ask the questions. You can close the meeting of the ANC.
I'm still asking my questions.
If you close the meeting, you can close the one of the ANC, not Parliament meeting. This one belongs to.
Shall I leave the ANC aside?
Deputy Minister, no. Wait, your people are very loud.
Can I continue?
Yes, Chair, can you continue?
Yes, I was analyzing my questions before I give to members. One of the things I wanted to raise, Minister, is the issue of unauthorized expenditure, as you have said, you have put a leg on it. I think it must be appreciated. The irregular expenditure at some point in 2021 did go up, Minister. I think we need to be worried a bit if even now in our presence that irregular expenditure do get a way of coming up. And I think slide 60 is very important for us to keep our eyes on. Now, I am come to this end that they are there if there is any memshala. Let me check which ones are up. Were you raising your voice because your hand was up, Mshala?
No, thanks so much, Chairperson of the session. I think in future we need to educate ourselves how to run meetings. You can't share the meeting, and at the same time now you are the first person to start asking questions. Please allow me to speak. It's my time now to speak as a member of Parliament. So in future, as you are the one chairing the meeting, you can't chair and at the same time be the first person now to start asking questions. It is very weird. Let's allow members to come. You will engage.
It is your view. It's very weird.
Chairperson is not a trained nurse. Allow me to ask my questions. The question is as follows. lie back on Arabic, which implementing agents are experiencing constraints in each province? Because we heard that the Arabic, there are constraints in some provinces. So we are asking which implementing agents are experiencing constraints in each province. What are the constraints? And how is the department resolving these matters? And the other thing that is really very disturbing us is this thing of condonation. Every now and then there's corruption under your leadership, Deputy Chief Minister Mahlobo. There's a lot of cases. I saw here 5 billion and something is being condoned. We are requesting a condonation of 5 billion and something. It's really out of order. And what I want to ask, what is happening? Because as we are condoning, we are losing a lot of money from the taxpayers' money. We are taking the money from, I think, from the National Treasury to condone whatever we want to condone because of corruption, irregular expenditures, and all those things. What happened to those people? Are they paying our monies back? Because it's time now for the people who did this nonsense to pay the money of the taxpayers back. Yeah. We are sick and tired of people saying that this people is now being guilty, is being handed over to the police. What is happening after that? What about their pension monies? Are we taking all those things of pension monies to make sure that we don't risk a better pay our national treasure or our pay as the government because of crimes which people have now turned the state into something that they can just loot from without any consequence? Thank you so much, Chairperson. I was just guiding. Please don't share and ask the questions at the same time. Allow members to engage.
Comrade Madi, your hand is up. Comrade Madi, your hand is up. It is your turn now. Mam Nancy Sifai, your hand is also up. Can you go for the question, Matala? Are we in a meeting?
We can still hear you, Chair. We can hear you.
Are you speaking?
I'm saying, Comrade, Member Madi is, Peterson, hand is up, and then she will be followed by Member Sikwai.
Oh, I thought you said Member Mosala.
All
right, no, thanks, Chair.
Are we not in a meeting, colleagues?
Yeah, but remember, Peterson is not speaking. Maybe Mam Nancy can speak, Chen, because I don't know what to say.
But I did say that Mam Peterson and Mam Sifai, if Mam Peterson is not speaking, Mam Nancy, can you speak?
Thank you very much, Peterson. Morning, Honorable Chair. The leaders in the platform and officials, good morning, the Honorable Minister and the GM. Thank you very much for your opening remarks, Honorable Minister, in terms of specific projects that we've been crying about in the program. Which you are giving an impression on us that there's a huge progress on them. And we really appreciate that. It gives some hope to us. And the second appreciation is the finalization of the organizational structure of the department, which will stabilize the whole program and the implementation of many programs. Because surely what's going to happen now, it is the appointment of necessary people with skills in different positions. I think we are moving in the right direction. In terms of the structure, I want to ask a question may have been presented. There was a very progressive approach in the previous years, 2020-21, about a construction unit, which is an attempt to empower young people to give them skills, technical skills, so that they can be able to be employable and also assist the technical units of the department. I just want to check, where is that in the finalized structure of the department? Because it was very progressive when it was presented to us. The second one, Chair, is the issue of the, on the procurement. The presenter, Babalwa, talks about the procuring of services for designated groups. But in the presentation, it gives clarity on the percentages that the disability has got only 2%. And this is a worrying factor because it's been 2% for the previous years. And it's not increasing. And what we want to know why. Where is the problem with this? Because it's one of the set-aside groups in the procurement. We listened in some of the public hearings that women will be given work in the building of a house to install windows or doors. That's not what we want. It's discriminatory if it happens that way. So it's important that we get to know what are these procurement services that are given to these designated moral society disability that continues to be 2%. The other question, Chair, is the issue of the areas where there's a non-achievement in terms of the targets and the percentages according to the standard of the department. Can we know why? Because one of the issues is that perhaps we could add some views on how best can we deal on those issues so that we are able to achieve. It's important to know the reasons why we did not achieve in certain specific areas. The other one, Chair, is the Honorable President in SONA 2021. He made a very clear, progressive point on who is expected to create jobs between the public sector and the private sector. He said very loud that the private sector role, which is critical, is to assist the state to create jobs. This department is having huge amounts of money, billions and millions. I just want to check that, is there a standard measurement that the department has put in place to ensure that the private sector that we give money is able to create jobs, to alleviate poverty, and address inequalities in the process? Because service delivery must do all. You give me services, but people must get jobs. So is there a clear measurement that the department has to measure the private sector in terms of giving jobs, informal and permanent jobs? The last one, Chair, before Mshala comes to me, is the issue of the reallocation of funds or the moving of funds. I hear the Treasury guidelines, which are
necessary in terms of technical processes of the system. But you have given us, you have called us as communities and leaders and stakeholders to give us 2 billion for a certain project in the area. And now problems come in, protests and many other issues, the project is delayed. What processes have you put in place to empower the community to know? Because it's education even to them, because sometimes it's them that delay the project. What processes is put in place to ensure that they should know that the project is moving and will be implementable in the next or second 2 financial years to come, so that again, it does not become a problem? The issue of democratizing community goes to empowerment of how government works. Is there a process before you reallocate that funds to Limpopo from the Eastern Cape? Thank you very much, Chair. Well, the last one, Chair, is the issue of condonation. I think different from Okara.
I'm in the meeting, sir.
Okay.
The issue of condonation, can we be briefed? What processes are follows the issue of condonation or precedes the condonation? Because Guyane or Guyane, the value has not been created. And there's been value for money that has been given to Guyane, but no created value on the ground. Now, there comes condonation. What does that mean to that community and to the state? What are the other processes except condonation that have made penalties and consequence management in the process? Thank you, Chair.
Mateke.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much. I was disconnected in using my other device. Thanks, Chair. Let me also appreciate the report that was presented by the department, and also acknowledge the progress thereof. I think Mamswai and yourself has partly covered me in terms of my questions. But just 2 or 3 questions. What are the factors that prohibit the department from achieving their set targets on the designated groups? I heard Mamswai has specifically spoke on the people with disabilities, but I think we have not even reached our targets in both women and for young people. The other question, I think I need clarity. On the role of the internal audit unit vis-a-vis the panel of professional service providers, forensic audit, and investigators that are appointed by the department, which is reflecting in slide 53. I think I'm a bit lost there. And my other question is on the... when I was following your interaction with SCOPA, there was a question on the transgression of one of your DDGs, Ms. Marty. I just want to check, how far are you? I think I've missed that report on the case. On where are we as the department in terms of the investigation? And my last question is on the role of the DBSA in undertaking the departmental projects. Do you have any role that you're playing, or is there any role that GBSA is playing in terms of your projects, implementation of major projects in your, you know, in your department? Okay, I've got the last question. On slide 36, in relation to non-performance of contractors, how many contracts have been terminated by the department for non-performance, and from which province are these contractors located? What is the value of the contracts that have been terminated? And are there any funds that the department intends to recoup from those contracts that were terminated? Thanks, Chair. Those are my questions.
Honorable Madi, I see your hand is up again. Are you
yes, Chair.
Okay.
Now I'm connected. Thank you, Jay. And thank you for the presentation by the department. The department has underperformed. My questions, I've got two questions. The department has underperformed when it comes to water user monitoring for compliance for quarter one. How are they going to improve monitoring of water users going forward? And my second question is, on slide 25, a number of projects have been reported as complete, but at the same time, seven of those projects are said to be not achieved. Can we please get clarity on this matter? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I see no hand on the portal. May I ask the minister and the team to respond to those questions?
Perhaps I should go first, Chairperson. The DG speaking, and then the DMs and the minister could come in at the end, if that's okay.
Okay.
So I will answer a few of the questions. Sorry, Minister.
Just a minute, DG. Minister, do you want her to come first? Bruno, did you want her to come first before the DG? Oh, let's continue, DG.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'll answer a few of the questions personally, and then I will also allocate some of the questions to officials as I go through their questions to answer. Firstly, your point about the need to improve communications is noted, Chairperson, and we will work on that together with the communications people in the ministry. The second question about the performance on the RBIG, I'd like to ask our DDG for Water Services to answer that. Rizzi Marty, can you come in and answer that, please?
Thank you, Rizzi.
We can hear you.
Okay. Thanks. On the question of 5 out of 82 projects which have been completed, what we want to also clarify is that this project...
Hello?
Carry on,
Mr.
Mark, sorry.
Okay, yeah, I just got... So this project ran through multiple years. For instance, those 5 projects that are complete, 82 of those are still under construction. So for which is an RV project, sometimes they run more than 1 or 2 years. So that is the reason why it might appear as if the 82 are not actually moving, but they're actually moving. The details on why some of the IAs are having problems, where they're expressing challenges in each and every province. What we will do, we will want to make a request, is that we can therefore provide a detailed report on each of the IAs
on where they're actually expressing problems. But what we want to clarify is that as a department, we have the intervention model where if projects are not moving, we are able to also step in and use some of our water boards to also try and accelerate some of those projects. But we make commitments that we can, given time, provide the full detailed report where those IAs are, where those challenges are, and what the department is actually doing to still accelerate those projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Rizimati. Just to add, implementing agents experience various problems, including challenges with project management and challenges with infrastructure procurement, just as DWS has in the past. But as we closely monitor all the projects, before taking a project away from an implementing agent, we also offer advice and support to the implementing agent and meet with them and agree with them on action plans and monitor action plans for them to improve their management of the projects. The third question related to the VAAL project and whether we've been able to roll over under expenditure on previous years for the VAAL project. Franz, can you answer that, please?
Thank you, DG. Yeah, that's correct, DG. We did make an application to National Treasury for the rollover from the previous financial year, and Treasury only partially approved the goods and services request that we have made for the VAAL to the amount of 15.341 million. So that is all that Treasury has approved out of the 104 million that the department sent as an application for rollover.
Thank you, Franz. Just to add to that, that is not constraining us in terms of our ability to implement the VAAL project. We have sufficient funds budgeted this financial year to do all the work that's planned for this financial year. And we also have sufficient funds budgeted in the MTF. The fact that Treasury didn't approve the full rollover is not a constraint to us implementing, continuing to implement and do what we plan to do with regard to improving sanitation systems in the VAAL this financial year. The next question was about condonations. In brief, there is a set process that Treasury has and rules before they will condone any previous irregular expenditure. And they are very strict, and we have to meet all their requirements in order to do that. So we applied to Treasury for condonation, and they indicate the various processes that we need to go through. So, for example, as honourable members are saying, it's not just enough to condone. You must also recoup money where possible. You must also take disciplinary action where it's required. You must also take civil action where required, and even institute criminal action where required if there's been irregularities such as fraud and corruption. So Treasury agree with those views completely, and those are all parts of the requirements for condonation. You must show to Treasury that you've done all those processes, that you've undertaken disciplinary action, for example, or you've laid charges with the police before they will issue condonation. Franz, would you like to add?
Yeah, thank you very much, Didi. I think you have covered all the requirements, those minimum requirements set out in the framework from National Treasury. Also to add, as you have indicated, that if there are losses that were incurred where there was no value for money, Treasury would like us to conclude that process as well. And that also links to the Honourable Member's question on Guyana, that the process that is now underway is actually dealing, amongst others, with those determinations to confirm the amount of losses, the value for money. And that is where the technical aspect of engineers also come in. The other requirements DG has already covered. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Franz. The next question related to the construction unit. The construction unit, we've had for decades, we've had a construction unit in the Department of Water and Sanitation. Since before the democratic government, the department had a construction unit. That construction unit basically built some of the very large dams that we have in the country. It's a construction unit which has had very considerable capacity for construction of water-related infrastructure. That construction unit remains. It's part of our organizational structure, although it's not funded from the budget that we get from Treasury. It's funded from the water trading entity. And in terms of the National Water Act, the employment conditions for the employees in the construction unit are different to those of normal public servants. I'm not sure if before I started as the DG, there was an initiative within the construction unit to bring in more young people, to give them experience in the work of the construction unit. But the point I'm trying to make is that the construction unit wasn't established for the sole purpose of giving experience to young people. It was established many decades ago for the purpose of building major infrastructure. We do have various programs in the department to bring in young people and to give them experience and to develop young people for to work in the sector. And I'd like to ask Thabi Singh to give some more information about those programs. Thabi Singh?
Thank you, DG, and good morning, Chairperson and members. On the issue of giving the opportunity to the young people, we do have an academy learning in the department where we they come into the department through being the graduate trainee bazaar holders, and we have made strides in that area. So far, we have awarded about 975 bazaaries, and from those bazaaries, 827 have completed and they have joined the department as graduate trainees. And from that number, 145 are currently as the new graduate intense program in the department. And we have about 600 candidates that have already been appointed into contract positions in the department as a candidate engineers and candidate scientists in the department. And so far, we have appointed 300 of them into permanent positions in the department. That has actually reduced the entry level vacancies from 24% to 3%. And at this stage, we have issued out the bazaaries for the scholars, which has run from May until October. It is closing in October this year that we will be taking new interns. But besides the issue of the academy learning, because that is focusing on the technical skills, we also have internships that are focusing on non-technical skills. At this stage, we are busy with the interviews for the intake for 2020-23. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Thabi Singh. The next question was about the achievement of the affirmative procurement targets. Chairperson?
I don't want us to go past that point with any misunderstanding, because It is what you are saying, it might be contradictory to how we understood then. The construction unit, we were talking to it specifically because we thought that, no, we were of the view that its posture is lily white, it needs to be democratized. As you are saying, it has been established way before democratic government, meaning that there is a lot of skills, knowledge and work that they're doing, but it is not necessarily representing the demographics. So the issue of you training them in terms of the others is fine, but we need to tilt the balance of the demographics of the construction unit as a specific matter, rather than generally upgrading and bringing up young people to come to the fore, specifically on the construction unit. And I take the point that you are saying you are not aware that there was such a discussion. I'm sure there was, Please just take note of it. I'm not saying answer me now, but please take note that our view as a portfolio committee was that the construction unit cannot be left to be lily white as it is, because it does not represent the demographics of the country. That was the point then. But I'm not saying answer me now, but maybe you have to look at the point.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and point taken and noted. I think the construction unit has transformed quite considerably in the last couple of decades, but I suggest that we provide you with detailed statistics in that regard as a follow-up information to provide. The next question was about the affirmative action targets through our procurement. These are targets which are set centrally by the presidents, and all departments have to report on them. The challenge with meeting them is that we have to obviously work within the supply chain regulations set by National Treasury and the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee. Yeah, with regard to the target for the first quarter, we couldn't achieve a number of them. Mostly due to the crisis that we had during the first quarter, where we had to reallocate the resources to address those crises. Maybe to mention a few, the ones in KZN as well as the Eastern Cape. We have met as a branch regulation together with the regions, where we reviewed the challenges, and then we made sure that by the second and third quarter, we should be able to achieve the targets that are due by the third quarter. So also the approval of the structure, DG, will also help us then to make sure that by the end of the quarter four, we are back to monitoring as per our APP. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Polani. I've been informed there was also a question about internal audit. I'd like to ask Ntabi Singh to answer that one. Ntabi Singh.
Thank you, Gigi. The question on the internal audit, Honorable Seke asked what will be the role of the internal audit and vis-a-vis the appointed panel of investigators. The panel of investigators have been appointed in the department to boost the capacity in the internal audit, so that we can fast track the cases that we have and finalize the investigation cases with good speed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think, Chairperson, that's the answers to all the questions, unless I've missed any, in which case we can provide further answers. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks. I assume that there are those that have got political connotations in answering the ministers, and the deputy minister might want to talk to those ministers and your team of deputy ministers.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to top up on the disciplinary case of the infrastructure DG by saying that it's now my understanding that the presiding officer wants to streamline the finalization of the case by getting permissions both from the department and from the employee, the said employee, so that from the two we can finalize the case instead of going on with the current setup where there must be a sitting, the department bringing whatever and the employee doing so physically. That will help us to streamline the case, because as DG says, a finding has been made. It's merely the post-finding processes that are outstanding, and there are perpetual postponements on the part of the employee and lawyers. This would be understandable. That's what officials do when they want to drag a case, even when there's no justification. That is what I wanted to top up on. Thank you very much.
Minister, the top five thing? Minister Mkunu?
The top slicing by National Treasury.
Yes. On addressing our debt situation.
Well, I would merely say that it's an ongoing discussion with the National Treasury to try and not set us back by too many cuts in our budget, because by and large, even if we may appear now to be understanding, but I think by end of October, the actual deficit on our budget will be clearing. We are in a situation where we have to persuade them against any cuts on our budget for any reason, to excuse us maybe excuse us because apart from the slide towards or our shift towards more work on water services management, we have a huge deficit on cases. I mean, like the case of Guyana, where we've had to add, I think, $1 billion more to what was originally allocated because of the delays and derailments and all of that in order to complete that particular project. But it's ongoing engagement. Example, you know, I just want to make an example of how much we need with regard to water services. Yesterday, I was addressing a huge community in Nongoma following the demonstrations there for water. And indeed, we found that their concerns are quite legitimate. But when we look or delve into the matter, because we make an effort all the time when we appear, even after demonstrations, not to be firefighting, but to add substance in our interventions, we find that right from the start of the project of connecting water from Jozini Dam to us Nongoma and Savisa, there were a number of deficiencies that were made at the time, like size of the pipe and not exploiting the full capacity of the water treatment plant up to 30%, up to 30 megaliters a day. And that plant is functioning only at 10% megaliters per day. And despite 95 million awarded to or given as a grant given to Zululand, and another 12.5 million for Arabic, and then about 160 on MIG year to year, and I'm talking about funding for this year. You don't get a sense where these grants end up in, and we're afraid that things go the way of trucks, trucking water from time to time, and it becomes a waste of money. So what I'm trying to say, we first need to tighten up on all grants, but at the same time, we need more money to cover such things, because there is a question of upgrading and improving rather than starting afresh. And we do need repurposing of our budgets from time to time. But we try our best to use the very grants that are allocated, and then they do other things for, with such allocations. So I'm saying that top slicing, if Treasury goes on as they normally do, will affect us, but we'll try to engage them as far as we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that was the end from the department, and there are no hands in any way on the portal that needed to say something. Thank you very much, Minister and your team. We think we are a little bit better than when we came into the meeting. We have gained such a big knowledge of where we are. But I think we need to, just as I'm saying, better the way of one communicating in between meetings, in order for, because if you consistently, people are crying over water all over the show, and if you do not have answers, you become a useless somebody whom we want to, in some other meetings that we are sitting, we are being called ministers, members of water and toilets. But we have to answer those questions, and I think thank you very much for information. I assume that there is no other one who wants to say something, and therefore we can release the department colleagues. Thank you very much. Nosipo? Yes.
Is your closing remarks, Chibison?
I might have already done one or two of those. Thank you very much, ministers and the department and the members of the committee. I think we have done well. The meeting stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
the question pilari
botlhoko ne.
Thank you.